I loved the teen years. Did you?
Yeah, I was hesitant, but yeah, they were great. not our teen years, our kids' teenage years.
But I will say I felt like I needed prayer warriors around me, and I started praying more than I ever have.
We prayed on our knees every single day for our teenage kids.
And maybe you're feeling that desperation, or maybe you're not that desperate, but you just want your kids to love Jesus and to love people. We have a free resource for you.
Yeah, here's how you can get it. Go to familylife.com/prayforteens. We have prayers there to help you pray for your teen kids.
It's a free download that you can get.
Yeah, and we'd love to help you. Again, familylife.com/prayforteens. Get your prayer guide there and start praying.
Again, that's familylife.com/prayforteens.
I have just found myself in need almost constantly of God to say, Lord, would you show me? Show me what I need to know. Show me what's really happening here. And it's an act of dependence upon him, open hands to him. It's communicating to my kids that I don't know everything and that I need Jesus just as much as they do, which I think is a great thing for a mom to communicate to her kids. It's been a posture of mine throughout our parenting just to admit that I really don't know everything and that I need Jesus.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. We're going to continue our conversation today from yesterday, which was amazing, about praying for teen boys, praying for teen girls. Brooke wrote, praying for teen boys, Brooke McLaughlin. And then Stacy Thacker wrote, praying for teen girls. And don't miss this. Stay with us because it's going to be so good.
Here's another question. Your teenager doesn't want to talk and says, leave me alone. Why? What's going on?
They're hurt or humiliated.
Or I would even say they're just weary. They're tired. I mean, our kids are so busy. Mm-hmm. They have so much coming at them. One of the things I think, especially for girls, as we think about just kind of the harshness that sometimes they can take off, that mean girl kind of thing, I think even just giving our kids space to recover from their day and all that they have coming out, the expectations, the work, the school, the social media, their friends, all that's coming at them. Part of when I hear my girl say, I don't want to talk, and my girls are, some of them are talkers and some of them are less so. Some of them are more extroverted and some of them I have to really draw out. But if they don't want to talk, it's usually because they need to recover. They need to think on their own and then they'll eventually circle back, or I'll feel like I have an option or an opportunity to kind of lean in a little bit. But it's usually because they need some time on their own by themselves. Yes, in their room with the door shut. Yes, with their earphones on. It's that they need a little bit of recovery time. They're not ready to process with me.
Will there be a point that you'll come back? You're both shaking your head. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's different for each kid, for sure. Sometimes I have to go knocking. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like, I got cookies in the kitchen. Want to help? Like, or we're driving.
Captive
where
audience.
We're side to side. Also works with girls. I think it works with boys too. But with my girls, a lot of that time is we're driving down the road and we'll have a conversation. And I may be like, hey, you know, last week I kind of noticed this, or yesterday, and how you doing? Like that sort of thing. Almost always go back and check.
Mm. And I think that's important because as parents, we can get our feelings hurt. And so we can pull away, especially if you're a parent that avoids conflict. So we can pull away instead of pursuing them at some point when they're ready. You're shaking your head too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's honoring of them, especially as they get to the older side of the teenage years. I know their brains are not fully developed until they're 24 or 25 years old. That's a real thing. And unfortunately, the part of the brain that is not fully developed is the one that helps them make good decisions and handle their emotions. And that's why God gave them parents. All of that is really important. But I do think that we as mothers, and I would you know, as fathers as well, I think we have to begin honoring our children and giving them the space to try to figure some things out on their own, because the goal when they leave our home is that they'll be able to handle what life throws at them. And we know they'll still need us. I'm 47 years old and I called my dad last week and said, hey, Dad, what do you think about this? I mean, that's just a part of it, but we need to give them the space to begin to develop those muscles that help them process. And also, I think, you know, it's okay for our kids to have boundaries with us and to say they will process things different ways. Like Stacey said, I have one that's a talker and I have one that it takes him a while. He will talk to me, but on his terms. I need to give them space to be who they are, to let their brains work the way that God designed them, and to give them time to strengthen the muscles of how do I handle this, and then come in and help shape and define that if I need to.
That's really good. And I like what you said earlier about knowing each of our kids. Mm-hmm. Our oldest son was an introvert. Dave and I are both extroverted. Mm-hmm. He would come home from school and go upstairs and close his bedroom door. I'm like,
what did
what
we do?
In the world? What is happening
now? She said to me one day, he's up there building a bomb. I know he is. That's what he's doing. He's so smart. He's probably putting this thing together.
I'm like, who would want to just go upstairs and be by themselves? And then, exactly. And then I started reading, and we had a friend who was a counselor. He goes, oh, he's an introvert. He's recharging his battery. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a real thing. I am an introvert. My educational background is also in counseling. So I have learned over the years that needing time alone is not a want, it's a need.
Yes.
And if I don't actually do it, if I don't prioritize it, my body will start to shut down and make it happen for me. I'll get a headache or, you know, my stomach will hurt such that I actually physically have to remove myself for a little while to get some alone time that I need. And I always tell people that.
It's so important as parents to know that. I know that when he would go to church retreats, we would have to sit down and have a plan and strategy because he was so overwhelmed.
Yes.
And then he'd get grumpy.
He was over-peopled.
Exactly. Yeah. And so he would figure, and still as an adult, he'll say, I just need some time to be alone. Yeah. My life's been too busy. But then we'll have the son who's like the verbal processor, comes home and everything, and still is like that. We hear every single detail of everything.
Right.
And I'm loving that. And Dave's like, I didn't know a boy could have so many words.
But your introvert, his need to be away is not a rejection of you.
Exactly.
No. And I think as parents, sometimes we look at their needs and we see them as a rejection of us. And it's not that way.
We take it personal.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another question. Your teen knocks on your bedroom door at night. What's it about?
He wants to share what he's done that day. He wants to share the cool thing that happened to him that day. And I am so grateful for that. I don't like to stay up super late, and my husband gets up really early. So sometimes our teens will come in and like get down beside the bed and whisper to me, but it gets louder and louder. But I'm so, what an honor
that they want
to come and tell me about the good things that have happened in their life that day. I'll never say no to that.
Mm. Well, mine's a little bit more comical. We have four daughters and two bathrooms. And typically if they're knocking on the door, it's because the sister is in the bathroom and they need to use the restroom. That's typically, or they're afraid of something. That's the other option. But it's normally, I need to use your bathroom. That's 100% true for our family. Typical, very stereotypical, but it's they need some space. Yeah.
So with teenagers, Dave and I started staying up later because it's the time they'd talk.
Yep.
And so we're night people anyway, so that was easy for us. Mm. We're not morning people.
Yeah.
Mm. But man.
Food
at the table and then the island. I loved what you said too, Stacey, of like, if you want them, like bring some food. And especially with boys, Brooke, when they would come home from something, if I had a bunch of food on the island or in the kitchen.
They linger.
They linger. Mm-hmm. And girls do that too?
Yeah. Yeah, they actually do. They do eat. People, I know stereotypically, they'll say to boy moms, oh my goodness, I can't imagine your food. But I'm like, listen, girls eat too. We eat differently. But, you know, we do. Yeah. Food is a love language. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've done as a family, and this is interesting to me, we've just always done family dinner. Like, it's just been part of our rhythm. And I've been surprised recently. My girls have come home, different girls, and said, you know, other people don't do that. It's just not a priority for different reasons.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be supper or whatever, but it just like consistently, they were surprised that we held on to this very traditional model. And it was usually survival. It was like, you know, it's cheaper to feed everybody all at once. I can get my eyeballs on you. You know, we can have a little bit of a conversation. But I've been a little bit surprised by that. But our family, we love a good meal. We love all the things. Girls do snack. They do take them into their rooms. All those things are definitely true, too. So
yeah.
Food is a love language.
Have you guys done that, especially with sports and baseball?
No, we have not. I would like to say that we had, but that has not been our reality. But what we have tried to do is work very hard to have consistent touch points throughout the week.
Connections.
It has not been a sit-down dinner every night. I wish we could have. Also, I hate to cook. So I can cook. I just don't like to. So, you know, whatever. But every Sunday after church, we have dinner with my parents. Every Wednesday evening, we have dinner out together. There are these connection points. And let me tell you, the conversation is lively. And it is like sometimes my parents just sit there because they're just sharing. But it's wonderful. It's a way to connect with them. So not every single night, but certainly touch points.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk, you know, in both your books, you start with, Lord, you pray for yourself, what to pray for yourself. But it's different.
It is.
You know, boy mom, girl mom is different. In boy mom, it's Lord, show me. In girl mom, it's Lord, show me how to walk in humility. Is there a difference here? What's going on?
I think there is a difference in what we're saying, although I would never say don't pray that to the exclusion of what I'm saying. For me, I have just realized, you know, when we first started, you used the word desperation. And that has themed most of my motherhood. I mentioned early on that God didn't give me compliant boys. They weren't. And so, like, actually what happened is they were born 23 months apart and they kicked my feet out from under me. I'm a goal-oriented achiever, and they were the first project, if you will, that no amount of hard work on my part could produce exactly what I wanted, because it wasn't up to me. I'm not the one who changes hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. God is the one that does that. So it was a partnership, not the Brooke show.
Isn't it so
humbling? It's humbling and freeing at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, if you can actually get that, then it's very freeing to realize that God has only called me to do what he's called me to do, and he gets to do the rest of it. And so I'm going to focus on that and just let him be God in my kids' lives. But I was desperate for God to do something in my home. It's the whole reason I started praying for my kids was out of desperation. There are just so many things I don't know. Like, they will ask me questions and I'll be like, I don't know the answer to that. You know, there's a time, especially in the young teenage years, where they stop taking what you say at face value and they want to know why. Mm. And they have big questions. And sometimes I know the answers and sometimes I don't. And there really are so many things that my kids have encountered these days that I don't know what the right answer is. I feel like all of our kids are living in an entirely different age than we were. I didn't have a phone in my pocket when I was growing up, and they have experiences that are wildly different than what I had growing up. I have just found myself in need almost constantly of God to say, Lord, would you show me? Show me what I need to know. Show me what's really happening here. Show me the behind the scenes. Make the hidden things known. What is the right answer to this question? I mean, I can't tell you how many times I have thrown up okay, Lord, show me what I need to do here, while they're talking to me about a situation. And the really cool part is that God says, when you ask me for wisdom, I'll give it to you.
James
1. Literally. Like, I want to jump in the pool of God's wisdom, right? And so I have just constantly prayed, Lord, would you show me? And it's an act of dependence upon him. It's an act of open hands to him. It's communicating to my kids that I don't know everything and that I need Jesus just as much as they do, which I think is a great thing for a mom to communicate to her kids. It's been a posture of mine throughout our parenting, just to admit that I really don't know everything and that I need Jesus.
I remember getting to the point where I'd be on my knees. It's like, God, I know nothing.
Yes,
nothing. I have nothing to give either. And so it's that desperation prayer. I think most of us as parents hit that point at some point, and it's a great place to be.
It is, because
well,
when
it's
we
easy
are
to sit
weak,
here now and say it's a great place to be. In the moment, it's so
terrifying,
exasperating. Yeah. Like you said, you're desperate, you're tired. Maybe you're cranky. Well, I'm cranky, you know. And I'll say things I regret. It's like you're fried.
So let me ask both of you, because I am imagining both of you have prayed that, "Show me God."
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And these books are on teenagers, but you've also written about just praying for your kids. Mm-hmm. Was that a prayer even when they were little, or was it different?
I think it developed for me. I always wanted the Lord to lead me in my parenting. I think when our kids are little, we can control so much more, even just physically. When my boys were little, I could pick them up and put them where I wanted them. Now they pick me up and put me where they want me, right? That happens all the time. They'll sneak up behind me and pick me up or whatever. And I love that, but I can't control them physically anymore, not even close. I think as their problems got bigger,
You needed more wisdom.
I needed more wisdom.
I think that's true in terms of when they're little, it's almost like, give me the patience. Mm-hmm. Give me the endurance.
This shall pass.
Yeah. It's different because their needs become very different from when they were little.
Yeah. My pastor said one time, little kids, little problems, big kids, big problems. And then also when you have little kids, you're physically tired.
Mm-hmm.
So strung out. You would like pay someone to sleep on the floor. Like, just let me sleep for 5 minutes. When they're bigger, it's emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Also a physical aspect as well, because we now know that emotional issues have physical it's expressed physically. And so it's all connected. But the emotional weight sometimes is even more so than just the physically. If I could just have a nap today, or they would just quit saying, mom, mom, mom. Like, it's just, it's a different, but also hard. And so I think from just even listening to Brooke, like, of course I've prayed, Lord, show me, you know, in those moments. It's such a great prayer. I would argue with Brooke that God had already taken her through the path of humility when they were little. And so she'd already kind of been in that position.
That's
and everything
true.
That she just described is a place of humility. For me, it has to do with the fact that in my prayer relationship with the Lord, He's changing me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's about transformation. And so when I come to the Lord, I'm like, hey, here's the issue. Here's what I need you to change. Here's what I need you to fix. And my girls, they're not doing this and they're not whatever. And God is saying, hey, we got to work on you first. And if you're not willing to go first, how can you expect, or how can you pray for your girls to be strong and soft and patient and kind and all these things? How can you pray for them to have great friendships if you're not showing up? Like, He wants to do business with me.
That's
first.
The humility part.
That's the humility part. And if I don't put myself in that position, how can I expect Him to do that in their lives too? I need to model it first.
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
I am such a work in progress. So when we started these projects, we both felt strongly that we needed to have a place for moms, parents, grandmas to pray for their own hearts, because we get running down the track of all the issues that they have. But God's like, no, you're my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I need you to know that these things need to change first.
And we forget that. We forget. Yeah. We get wrapped up in being so-and-so's mom.
Yeah.
And sometimes forget, I'm a daughter of the King. I have a relationship with Christ that needs to be nurtured, and I don't always get things right. I need the Lord to correct me. And like you said, we have to go first in that.
And I think that's true in marriage too.
Yeah.
It feels like we often are looking at our kids or our spouse, what they need to do to change. We're praying for them. And God, every day through His word, pulls up the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like, exactly.
We're actually the problem.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
It's
actually,
so
yes. Yeah.
Humbling.
Yeah. I mean, how does, I'm sitting over here, the only guy in the room. How does your husbands interact in these areas? Coach us up even.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, model. Are they doing a good job? Is it your partner? Do they step in and take over sometimes? I mean, how do we as men partner with our wives as moms to pray for our kids?
One of the things that we started doing early, actually before we were even married, when we were engaged, my husband and I were living several hours apart the year before we got married, and we would call in the morning before we both went to work, and I would pray for him every morning before he went to work, and then he would pray for me.
That's and so sweet.
That is a habit that we have kept for 23, 24 years now. Every time he goes to work, I pray for him. And then when our boys were old enough, we started drawing them into that as well. And as the mom, I started saying, to my children, hey, Max, would you pray for dad today? Or Sam, would you pray for dad today? Because I was trying to, in a small way, give them some leadership in that. Like, this is what a man does. Would you cover your dad before he goes to work? I didn't always get it right, but I wanted, whenever I could, to try to treat them like men, even if they weren't old enough to be men. And I freely admit that I didn't always get it right, but it was my goal to do that. Now, when we gather to pray over my husband, I often don't even pray. They just come up and they start praying. They're 18 and 20 years old, and if they're home when their dad leaves, we gather and we pray in the kitchen. And somewhere along that line, my husband joined in as well. We've just tried to make prayer this really normal thing that we do in our family. And it's normal to my husband. Praying out loud is normal to us. That's something that I know people struggle with, is sometimes if prayer hasn't been normal for you, you might struggle to pray out loud. I always tell people, I just want to gently suggest that you get over that, because it's as parents, it's really important that we model a language of prayer to our kids. The reason people don't know how to pray is because they haven't heard other people pray. So I wanted, you know, my husband and I wanted to give them a language of prayer so that they even knew what to say when they needed to go to the Lord. So for us, it's very much been a family thing where we just tried to make it as normal and as routine as we possibly could.
Yeah, okay, I gotta ask you this.
This is amazing, by the way.
Yeah, this family sounds, you know, spectacular.
No.
Stacey, I wanna hear your thoughts too, but I gotta stop.
I think they're spectacular.
Something you said earlier that is very rare, I think. You treat your boys like men before they were men.
Mm. Yeah.
I think, again, I'm a guy over here. From my perspective, I think sometimes that's hard for women and for moms to do.
It is.
Even with their husbands. We just, you know, Anne's book that just came out, I often felt like she mommed me. Mm. Like, there are times she's telling me what to do or critiquing or whatever, and I'm like,
me?
No husband wants to be married to his mom, but often you mother, and it's not a bad thing, but there's this mother instinct, like, you should do this. Why aren't you doing this? Mm-hmm. You're changing his diaper like that? And you know, a lot of us guys, we walk out of the room, we're like, okay, obviously I'm clueless, you're better than me. Mm-hmm. So often we don't feel like we're treated like men, we're treated like boys. Mm-hmm. So this is like a thing for guys.
Yeah.
So when you said that, I'm like, wow, that's a big deal. I remember when Ann and I started dating, one of the first things I noticed about her dad, who was my high school coach, so I knew him.
Who wasn't a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but immediately, nobody had ever done this. He treated me like a man when I was still a boy. And I was like, he wants my opinion?
Yeah.
He respects me? Mm-hmm. I was so drawn to that. So when a mom does that, we as men are, you see something good in me, even that I don't see yet, you're treating me almost like I'm older than I really am. So I don't know. I just want to, like, is that something you intentionally decided I'm going to do? Is that sort of natural?
Yeah, it is something that I intentionally decided to do. I don't remember where I got it from. I honestly don't know if it was an original thought or if I read it from somebody else. I don't remember, but it was an intentional thing. And as I said, I did not get it right. And I still, at 18 and 20, I don't always get it right. They would, if they were here, they would, I'm sure, give you lots of ways that I got that wrong or continue to get it wrong. But I did. I even called them, I would say, and some people take offense to this, the phrase, I need you to man up or I need you to be a man. And I think it can maybe be used incorrectly or in a, you know, in a wrong way. But for me, I was trying to ask them to look at the world a certain way. And I was trying to hold out a level of excellence that says, this is what a man does. This is what I need you to do. And I need you to live up to this, not down to everybody else's standards, but up to what God says a man actually is.
Well, I think that part of asking your kids to pray out loud is really a big game changer. Mm-hmm. It's teaching them to pray.
Yeah.
And I remember, I mean, our kids were little, and I would say, hey, I'm doing this tomorrow. Will you pray for me? Because your prayers are really powerful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, they were little, like 7, 5 even. And, you know, I remember one of them saying, do you think my prayers are powerful? I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah.
We always prayed before they would go to school, before their day. But I like the idea of praying for each other. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
We're a team.
Yeah.
We are a sports family. So I can't help but think in terms of team, but we are a team and we are on the same team. We are on the same side, even though if I'm honest, sometimes it doesn't feel that way, but we are. Anything we can do to help them to like huddle up, guys, let's remember who we are.
So, I mean, I'm thinking of the moms and dads and parents that are going to pray for their kids because of what we talked about today. And hopefully, again, go to familylifetoday.com, pick up the book, and get it. And again, it gives you sample prayers. If you think I can't do this, yeah, you can.
Brooke wrote Praying for Teen Boys, Brooke McLaughlin. And then Stacy Thacker wrote Praying for Teen Girls. And don't miss this. We're going to go deeper into, first of all, Brooke's book, Praying for Teen Boys. And we'll talk about that the next time. And again, Praying for Teen Boys.
Praying for Teen Girls. FamilyLifeToday.com.
Click the link in the show notes. You guys, this has been amazing. Thank you. I can't wait to talk more.
Thank you.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.